The sefer starts out like this: Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem. By the way, that's God's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's questioning. Why'd you do bad to these people? Whatever. God says, Vayidaber Elokim. Elokim is Midas Hadin, strong, justice, judgment. Ani Hashem is mercy. The same you see judgment, I'm telling you that in the end it's mercy. Same thing. You think that I'm being harsh with the people, in the end it's for their good. Okay, in any case, now God goes on. He says, Vo'era el Avram, el Yitzchok, el Yaakov, I appeared to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, the Kel Shakai, with the name Kel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lehem. I never let them know my name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Doesn't mean they didn't know the name. They didn't see that attribute of God. In one second, we'll see what that means. So, that's a sentence. I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Kel Shakai, and my name, Hashem, I didn't make known to them. We'll see in one second. It's a rebuke, yeah. But we have to understand it first. Rashi adds two words. Vo'era el ha'avos. I appeared to the others. Now, on the surface, that Rashi is totally unnecessary. Okay? If I told you, God says, Vo'era el Avram, el Yitzchak, ve'el Yaakov, would you need to be told by Rashi that those are the others? Would you think that we're talking about Avram Schwartz, Yitzchak Cohen, and whatever, right? And Rashi has to tell you, no! Got to remember, those are the Ovos from last week's Sedra, or the Sedra before that, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They should forgot who they were. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Ovos. What in the world do I need Rashi to tell me that? Anybody knows that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are the Ovos. Why does Rashi have to add that? Vo'era el ha'ovos. So, in the past, I've said the following. In the future, I'm going to tell you tonight, secondly. First, let me tell you what I said in the past. That's the following. Why did Rashi have to add that Vo'era el ha'ovos? Because God was rebuking Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was telling him the following, says Rashi. Many times I appeared to the Avos and I promised them many things, like I promised them Eretz Yisrael, and I never made good on my promise. And they never questioned me. They accepted it, they never questioned me. I told Avram, you're going to get Eretz Yisrael, your children are going to inherit it. He had to go and buy a burial place for his wife exorbitantly. Didn't question me. Didn't ask me any questions. He accepted it. Yitzchak, the same thing. Yaakov, the same thing. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, one time I tell you something, and it doesn't work out the way you like it right away, and right away you're questioning me. Chaval al da'avdin velo mishtakim. It's a shame that they're lost and can't be found. That's what he tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? The avos, I promised, didn't deliver my promise, they never questioned me. You, I tell one thing, it doesn't work out the way you think, right away you have complaints against me. So it's a shame that the avos are lost and can't be found. A few questions. First of all, what's that mean? The avos are lost and can't be found? I know where the avos are. They're either in Gan Eden or their bodies are in Maaseh Machpelah. They're not lost at all. What do you mean they're lost and can't be found? Secondly, what's the double language? If they're lost, they obviously can't be found, because if they could be found, they wouldn't be lost. So why does that have to say they're lost and can't be found? What's that mean? Secondly, there is an intellectual problem with God's taina on Moshe Rabbeinu. What's his taina? Many times Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I promised things, and they were able to accept it and never question me, and you can't. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu turn around and say the following? There's a famous Chassidish Maisa with the Rebbe of Zusha. The Rebbe of Zusha once said, after 120 years, when I come before the heavenly court, I'm not afraid that they're going to ask me, how come you weren't as great as the Baal Shem Tov? I'm going to answer them, I didn't have the qualities of the Baal Shem Tov that I should be as great as. So I couldn't be as great as him. I wasn't blessed with those talents, abilities, capabilities that the Baal Shem Tov had. You're going to ask me, how come you weren't as great as the Rambam? I'll say, I'm sorry, I did not have the qualities of the Rambam. I couldn't develop into a Rambam. You know what I'm afraid of? That after 120 years, they're going to ask me, Zusha, how come you didn't develop into what Zusha could have been? And then I have no answer. And I don't usually like to bring rayas from Chassidus Shemaiselef, but the idea is true. You can't demand from somebody, how come you're not like him? I'm not like him because I'm not him. can demand of him, how come you're not like you should be? So Moshe Rabbeinu, why couldn't he turn around and say, look, God, what do you want from me? Avram, great man. Yitzchak, great man. Yaakov, I'm not so great. So I can't function like they. What are you asking me questions? Why I'm not as great as them? I'm not as great as them. What's the time on Moshe Rabbeinu? Therefore, the answer to that is the following. It's different. There are certain qualities that our forefathers had that they weren't individual qualities. They were the qualities they had as avos. They weren't individuals. They were our forefathers, not just that they came before us, but everything they had, they put into spiritual genetics, and we have that. There's a certain reservoir of powers that they created that became the foundation of the Jewish people. Not everything, but certain things. For instance, the qualities of the avos. Avraham Avinu had chesed, and Yitzchak had the concept of gvura, which is connected to busha, being, what's it called, able to be embarrassed and not do everything. Right, that's holding yourself back. And Yaakov Avinu had the maila of emes, rachmonis. Those are the milas, those are the midos of Klal Yisrael. Rachmonim, baishonim, gomlei chasodim. Those are the midos of the avos. We're gomlei chasodim because we inherited it from Avraham Avinu. We're baishonim because we inherited that from Yitzchak Avinu. And we are rachmonim because we inherited that from Yaakov Avinu. So in one respect, what? Because in order to have rachamim is not chesed. Rachamim is because somebody deserves it. So you have rachamim because somebody deserves that. That's the midas ha'emes. So there, it's not that they had these great midos, and we have to no person that can say masay agil lemaisay lemaisay avos Avraham Yitzchak. When will my deeds reach the deeds of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Meaning in those areas that these people were not individuals, but they were avos. Avos, like on Shabbos, there's the Av and the Tolda. The Tolda emanates from the Av. By Tumma Lahavdom, the Tolda comes from the Av. They were avos in the respect that whatever we have emanated from them. Therefore, true. You may not be able to say to somebody, how come you're not like the Baal Shem Tov? How come you're not like the Vilna Gaon? How come you're not like the Rambam? Each person has his ability. But there's certain abilities that the avos had as avos that every Jew has within him potentially. That's what the Rebbe Shem said. And that's why Rashi had said, Vo'eira l'avos. I didn't appear to these people as individuals, because then Moshe could turn around and say, I'm not as great as them. But I appear to them as avos. And this is a midah of the avos. And therefore, it should be found in you. That quality. Chaval al da'avdin v'lom. It's a shame that it's lost in you and can't be found. That's what it means. Not lost, but it's lost in you. I can't find that potential in you, Moshe Rabbeinu. You haven't developed that yet. But it's there. And I can have a tain on you. Why don't you develop the midah that you inherited from the avos of being able to believe and not question? That's part of the midos ha'avos. That's why Rashi had to point out, Va'era el ha'avos, I appear to them as avos, not as individuals. And therefore my taina on you is a taina. I'm not trying to say, why can't you be like these individuals? Why can't you develop what's part of you? Because this was the midah of the avos. That's what we said in the past. Now tonight I want to show you something different. I haven't yet worked it out, and somehow it's got to fit in with Sheva Brachas, so I haven't figured out that yet either. But it's an idea, okay? The idea is the following, that there are two periods in history. The Nitziv says, it brings down a, don't remember who says it, maybe the Rabbeinu Hanano, I don't remember now who says this. He says that the names of the different Sfarim, we spoke about this at some shiur, that the each Sefer has two names, Bereishis Shmos VaYikra BaMidbar Dvarim, and then there's Sefer Yitzira, Sefer HaGeula, Sefer Toras Kohanim, Chumash HaPikudim, and Mishneh Torah. Those are the thematic names. One of the Rishonim, though, says that the names of the Sfarim are the following: Sefer HaYitzira, Chumash HaSheni, Toras Kohanim, Chumash HaPikudim, and Mishneh Torah. Interesting that the Shmos, he doesn't say Sefer HaGeula, it's Sefer HaSheni, the second book. Now, any of them could have been by number, first book, second book, third book, Vayikra could have been third book. But he doesn't say that. All the other ones have names, but Shmos is called the second book. So the Netziv, in his preface to Shmos, explains that there was a tkufa, there was a period in history called Sefer HaYetzirah, where God was forming the world. That happened physically in the 6 days of creation, but it went on for a period of history of the formation of the Jewish people, the foundation of the Jewish people. That was the time of the Avos. The Avos were a time of formation, of creation. They created the foundation, the wherewithal, the reservoir of powers that we just spoke about, of the Jewish people. The second book is second to that Yetzirah, is the realization of that potential and bringing it out in actuality. That's called Geula. That's what redemption is. Redemption is taking a potential that exists and bringing it out, redeeming it, actualizing it, bringing it from the potential to the actual. That's called redemption. So the Sefer Shmos, which is the book of redemption, is the second book. It's second to the Yetzirah. After the creation comes the realization of the potential that creation did. And therefore, there are two times in history, in this world, up until the death of Yaakov Avinu, and perhaps even beyond that, Yosef, which is all included in Sefer Bereishis, it all was the period of history of formation, creation, but not yet realization. Starting from after the Avos died, and Yosef was included with that, came the period of realization. Part of that realization had to come from the Shibud Mitzrayim. In order to bring out the full potential that the Avos created, the Jewish people needed to go through a lot of tzaras. It was like a smelting furnace to bring out, to help them actualize that potential. So Shibud Mitzrayim, the slavery in the persecution in Egypt, was part of the process of bridging the gap between the potential and the actual. That was the part of the process of bringing out the potential and actualizing it, which ended with the Jewish people getting the Torah and becoming God's nation. All of that was created, the wherewithal, by the Avos, and then brought to its actuality by the people themselves through God's intervention, through the giving of the Torah, and through Shibud Mitzrayim. This is similar to some other process. Ramchal mentions very specifically, when he speaks about God's intention of creating the world, that the ultimate purpose of the world is the reward that a person will get, the perfection of the world to come. But there's another period of history, which is the time to create that wherewithal to get that reward. That's this world. This world's the place where you create the necessary wherewithal that later on creates that reward. Here you hayom laso, some here you do, and makar lekabelschar, tomorrow you get the reward. But you get the reward based on what you do and create in this world. Here you create the foundation, and there you translate that foundation into reward. Rashi added the words Vo'er el ha'avos to explain this idea. God is explaining to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not complaining against him. It's not like we said before that it's a critique, castigating Moshe. God's explaining to Moshe, you are beginning a new period in history. Up until now, we've been dealing with creating the potential. You are now the bridge between realizing that potential, and part of that realization is Shibud Mitzrayim, which will help bring out that potential and actualize it to the Jewish people. And therefore, Many times I promised thee all those things, and I didn't make good on my promise, because that wasn't the time yet to make good on the promise. It's like this world, there's no reward in this world. Reward for mitzvahs is not in this world. This period is create the potential. The reward, the actualization, will come later. Hayom lasosom. Now you create the potential. Mocher lekabel, tomorrow, the next day, meaning in the world to come, that's where you actually get the reward. It's not that for this world. Therefore, similarly, in the creation of the Jewish people, there were two times. There was the time of creating the potential, and then there was the time of actualizing it. Sefer Bereishis is the book of creating the potential, Yetzirah. Sefer HaGeulah, the second book, is realizing that potential. Therefore, says the Rabbanu Shlomo Moshe Rabbeinu, Vo'era el ha'avos, I appeared to the avos, that period of history, and therefore I made promises to them, and I never made good on it. And they never had complaints because they understood that this was the time of creating the potential, not seeing it actualized. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, now starting a new position. You're starting the time now when you start actualizing that potential. In order to do that, you needed the Shibud Mitzrayim. So he's answering his question. Lomar, why did you do bad to these people? Because they need this. Lochein emor, hinini nosim lo, what's it called? The hotseisi, the itzauti. All the things that they went through, the suffering, will translate into bringing out their potential. By the geirus, by being strangers in a land not theirs, now I can take them out and give them an identity. So they needed to have their identity taken away, so now I can give them a new identity. They needed to be slaves where their resources were taken away from them, so I can now give them back their resources, and they get it directly from me. They needed to be inui, persecution, where they had no tachlis, no purpose. They were working for nothing. Now I'm going to give them purpose. I'm going to give them what's it called, geula. So the Rabbanu Shlomo explained to Moshe Rabbeinu why this was necessary. In the time of the avos, this wasn't necessary because they were just creating potential. I promised them, I didn't make good on the promise because that wasn't the time for making good. But now comes the time of making the good on the promise. For that to bring the potential to the actual, you need sometimes difficult times to bring it out. And that difficult times is what you need to be able to actualize it. That's the Rabbanu Shlomo's explanation. So somehow I'm going to connect this with the following. It says, you know, we wish a child by the bris, you've got lenu l'torah, l'chuppah, u'lamaisin tovim. Right? Why does the Maishim Tovim come after the Chuppah? Can't you do Maishim Tovim before you get married? It should say, the Torah, the Maishim Tovim, or the Chuppah.
Chuppah is
rich. Well, 1 second. So some say, if it was done that, then the end of the bracha is by the Chuppah. So you want to give a person a bracha that ends by the Chuppah. So you want to have something that's open-ended. So you put Maishim Tovim at the end to make it open-ended. That's one end. Some say they used to get married before they were bar mitzvah. So therefore, they didn't have the Maishim Tovim until after the Chuppah. But what I want to say is the following. There's two tkufas in a person's life. There's the tkufa where a person is creating his potential. He's not yet actualizing it. That's where a child, if a person is, till marriage, he's pretty much creating what he is going to be, what he's going to be able to do later. The chuppah is the bridge between the time of life of creating potential and actualizing it. Now that you're married, and you have that completion of two people together, now you can have Maishim Tovim. Now, bring out the potential that you created in the 20 years, whatever, odd years that you were working on yourself. Now you're able to actualize that potential, bring it out to Maishim Tovim. The Chuppah is the bridge. Just like the Shibud Mitzrayim, not comparing the Chuppah to Shibud Mitzrayim, but that is the that's why it says Moshe Kakriyas Yamsu. There is connection there to, in any case, but so that's the bridge. So that's what the Rabbanu Shlomo was explaining to Moshe, and that's why Rashi added those words for Eril HaAvos. It was explained to him why Taka he promised the Avos and didn't deliver, and now he's going to deliver, not because Moshe was greater than them, because that was the Tkufas HaAvos, creating the potential, the Yetzirah. And now is the bridge, the Tkufa of Geula, the second book. Now's the time to take that potential and actualize it. Yeah.
One question over here,
Yeah.
The question is specifically in all of the power here along with
that.
So
that what?
Here along with this is not.
No, Moshe Rabbeinu's question was Loma Harioso Amazel, Loma Zeshlachto.
Loma Harioso Amazel, Loma Zeshlachto. Not the last
one. Right, true. But he said, what's it called? If in fact, right, my purpose is to redeem them, then why do things get worse? What's that have to do with my shlichus? The Vashem answered him, part of your shlichus is to bring out this potential. And in order to bring it out completely, the shibud was that. And now, that's not a stira to your shlichus, that's part of your shlichus. The geula came not in contradiction to the shibud, but as a result of the shibud. And therefore, your mission of geula isn't contradicted by things getting worse at this point, because it's all one process. That's it.
God told Shobin that Yehoshua didn't complain.
Yeah, but that Rashi says there, that wasn't a complaint, wasn't even a question. The Avraham Avinu said, I believe that you're going to give the merit to Israel, but I'd like to know in what merit.
I think Rambam even said that that's the reason why Israel went down to Mitzrayim.
The Gemara says it in the Dorah.
Right.
But it's not to be understood simply that it was a sin, because Chazal say it wasn't a sin. He questioned the merit that they would have. But we once gave a shiur on this. I can't explain it on one foot. But it's not, and if it was a sin, then let Avraham be punished, not his children.
He's avot, one of the avot.
Yeah, I understand. But it wasn't a sin, it was a blemish. By asking what merit the Jewish people have to get Eretz Israel, he implied that they needed some kind of outside merit, and that Eretz Israel and the Jewish people weren't one and the same.
But
no, Yerushena means that they will get it, not me. Right, what schus? Rashi says there. Look at Rashi there on the pasuk. V'no eda ki rashena. What schus did Klal Yisrael have? And the Ravon Shem's answer to him was based on that, the schus of karbanos. The fact that they will bring karbanos is the schus they have for Eretz Yisrael. And when there are no karbanos, their mesiris nefesh will be that schus. That's the schus they have. And basically, what God said to them, you don't need any extra schus. The essence of the Jewish people itself, which is represented by Karbanos and Mesiris Nefesh, is enough for them to get Eretz Yisrael. They fit Eretz Yisrael like a glove. That says, as a Medrash, it says, God measured every land, and he found no land more suitable to the Jewish people than Eretz Yisrael, and no people more suitable to Eretz Yisrael than Jewish people. We fit each other like a glove. When Avraham asked what merit, he implied that we don't fit each other like a glove. This has to be some external thing that we get Eretz Yisrael from. And that already put the identity of the Jewish people into question. What is our identity? It's not Eretz Israel, it's the same identity, then what is our identity? That pegam necessitated Shibud Mitzrayim, to clarify what our identity is. That we're a nation created by God. Okay, if it doesn't make sense, it's okay, because it's a whole hour shiur. Okay, in any case, let's go on. Okay. There's another short thing. It says that when you come to Paro, the Rebbe Shem tells Moshe, when you come to Paro, right, and Paro will say to you, Tnu lachem mofeis, give yourselves a wonder, then you should throw your stick on the ground, it'll turn into a crocodile or a snake, whatever. So it seems like God is making a condition. When you come to Paro and he'll ask you for a sign, then throw your stick down and give him the sign. It says right after that, they went to Paro and they did what God said, and they threw down the stick and it became a snake. It doesn't say that Paro asked them anything. So some say that that's included. They did what God said, meaning Paro asked them and they did it. It's understood that the scenario was as God told him, if this will happen, God, Paro will ask you, do it. That's what happened. But it doesn't say that. Also, the language is different, is difficult. It should have said Tnu Limo face, give me a sign. Paro should have said Tnu Limo, not Tnu Lachem, give yourselves a sign. So the simple answer to that is Tnu Lachem Mo face means give me some credentials. Who do you think you are? Coming here, demanding things from me. Let's have some credentials. What are the credentials? Show me a wonder. Right? Give yourselves a wonder, meaning give me your credentials. But I want to say a different idea. The idea is the following. a person is very much influenced by his environment, by his surroundings. That's why a person should always strive to be amongst righteous people, because being around wicked people has an effect on you. But not necessarily it's going to affect you to become wicked, but it's going to affect you to put doubts in your mind, whatever. That's why it's not good to look at the face of a Russian. Because when you see somebody who is so sure of his evil, of his non-belief, it has to put doubts in your mind that, you know, maybe he's right. Even if I don't believe him or whatever, but somebody who's so adamant in his disbelief has to make an impression on us. Just the opposite. When you're very strong in belief, it makes an impression on people who don't believe and puts doubts in their mind. That's why Chazal say that wherever the Tzedukim, the Sadducees, had something they didn't believe in the Masorah. For instance, by Sfiras HaOmer, right? They brought the Omer a different day. Or by Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos, they didn't believe in pouring the water on the Mizbeach. It's not mentioned in the Torah specifically. Whenever that happened, we did the ceremony with tremendous ceremony and pomp and circumstance, lahotzi miliben shel tzedukim, to take out of their heart. Now the Chorech Chazal were not successful, because over the years the tzedukim never changed, and so all our pomp and circumstance in doing these things that they didn't believe in didn't have its effect. The answer is no. It doesn't say the Chazal were hoping that the tzedukim would stop. That was beyond hope. But lahotzi, it would take out of their heart, meaning they would have doubts. If they see how we are sure of what we're doing, and we do it with such pomp and circumstance, it has to put doubts in their mind. Maybe they're making a mistake. So it's out of their heart already. And therefore what they do, if it doesn't have that same commitment, right, it doesn't have that terrible effect in the universe. So it's lahotzi miliban shel tzedukim, it took out of their heart. The opposite is also true. When I come face to face with somebody who's a total apikoros, I look him straight in the face, it has to put doubts in my mind, because he's so sure of himself, you know, maybe he's right. Right? I may not think it consciously, but it has to put doubts in my mind. Therefore, that's what the Rabban Shem told Moshe. Ki yedaber aleichem paro, when paro will speak to you, strong words, dibur means kosh, paro will look at you, right, and his brazen disbelief will come through in his dibur. Then when Paro will speak to you, that tells you tenu lachem bo face. Not that Paro's going to ask for it. I'm telling you, you need it. You better now give yourselves. Give yourselves a mo face to strengthen your belief. When Paro speaks to you, it's going to have an effect on you, to put doubts in your mind. So it's as if he's saying, give yourselves a mo face, strengthen your emun. That could be a way of understanding that. In addition to that, the one last thing. It says there are four lashonos of geula. Right? So there's vahotseisi, vahitzauti, vigoalti, vilokahti. I'll take you out, I'll save you from the work, I'll redeem you, I'll take you as my nation. And but there's two more things after that. Vidatem ki ani Hashem, and vehevesi eschem al oretz, and you'll know that I'm God. Vidatem and vehevesi, and I'll bring you. So why aren't they included? So in fact, there's a fifth coast, the coast of Eliyahu, right? So some say that coast of Eliyahu is connected to vehevesi, but since we never really came into Eretz Israel permanently, because we went into Golus twice, so that's the Hevesis for the future. When Eliyahu comes, when Mashiach comes, then it'll be fulfilled completely. So we have the fifth coast connected to Hevesis. What about Vidatem? So that's not God's doing, that's our doing. Vidatem, you should know. Right. Others say that the fifth coast is connected to Vidatem, the Netziv says. Fifth coast is for Vidatem. The Hevesis is after redemption. That's a new thing. So that's not included. But Vidat, you'll know that I'm God. That's a higher level. The first four, everybody went through. So they have to have those four cups. Vidat then is a high level of really intellectually understanding all this. So whatever, that level is something that's voluntary. That's not mandatory to everybody. So therefore the fifth cup is a voluntary cup. Why do we have cups of wine? Not four matzahs or something. Connected the Arba Lashonos and Geula. Says in the Tzid, because each stage in the redemption changed us a little. It had an effect on us. Wine changes your demeanor. Every cup changes you a little bit more. So it corresponds to the changing of the person through the different levels of redemption. The Vilna Gaon has another idea. He says that there are really only three Lashonos of Geula. Because otherwise you have to count the Datem and the Hevesi, and there's altogether six. He says only three. Where does the Lashonos of Geula end? The Goalti. After that is post-Geula. The Lakachti, that's the giving of the Torah, that's after the Geula. The Hevesi is after the Geula. The Datem is after the Geula. Those don't count. So what counts? Everything till the Goalti. That's Geula. That is only three. Vahotseisi, Vitzalti, the Goalti. Says the Vilna Gaon. But the Goalti, it says the Goalti Eschem. Vizroa Netuyo, Vishvatim Gedolim. Two different kinds of the Goalti. With an outstretched arm and with great punishments. So the Goalti is divided into two. Because of the Goalti Bizroa Natuya and of the Goalti Bishvatim Gedolim. That makes four. The Hotseisi, Vitzalti, and two the Goaltis. That's the Vilna Gaon. The Sfarno says, this is the Iker one to say, that, since I came 2 minutes late, we'll take two more minutes. It says the Datem is a condition. All these things are going to happen. If you think about it and contemplate it, then there will be something that you acquire, and the Hevesi will bring you into Eretz Yisrael, and you'll never go out. But if you don't think about it, if you just let it pass over you, no pun intended, okay, just let it pass over you, and you don't think about it and acquire it, then you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but it's not going to be permanent. Because a person only is affected by what he really thinks, ponders. And that's why Bilam, the Chafetz Chaim says, you know why Bilam ended up Bilam, even though he had the potential of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu thought into what God told him, and Bilam didn't. That's why in Parshas Bala, there are no paragraphs. The paragraphs signify where Moshe Rabbeinu was given time to think and contemplate what he was told. Bilam never thought. He heard what God said, he just went on. If you don't think, then things just pass over you, and they don't affect you. And if you don't think into what's happening, God said, then the Hadesi is not going to be permanent. If you do think into it, then there'll be a different history. So thinking, and in fact in this coming week's parasha, it explains, it says the person in Paro's Hayoresh Devar Hashem, the one who feared God, brought his cattle in when Moshe warned them that there's going to be Bara, there's going to be any cattle left out in the field is going to die. And Halashirlo Sam Libo, the one who didn't take it to heart, left his cattle outside and they got killed. The Medrash says the one who fears God, that refers to Eov. He was one of Paro's advisors. He feared God. He brought his cattle in when Moshe said, if you don't bring in, he's going to die. And who's the one, Asher lo sam libo? He didn't put his heart to it. Not that he didn't fear God. Not that he didn't care. He didn't take it. He didn't take notice of it. He didn't think about it. He left his cattle out. It didn't make an impression on him. That's Bilam. So without thinking deeply into something, just hearing it and let it pass over you, it doesn't make the effect that it becomes something that will affect you and make a difference eternally. So that's what ended up making a Bilam and not a Moshe, thinking, and that's why they went through all of this, but they didn't think into it, and the Geula in that time was never permanent. We went into Galus, and until we take these things to heart, it's not going to become something that's eternal.